The 2024 NFL Draft heads to Detroit, and it's time to see who gets the job.
Caleb is a unique and special talent throwing the football.
And what sets them apart.
The Heisman Trophy winner is Jaden Daniels.
All of the greats were hired here.
What a throw by Mahomes.
See who gets the job.
Are you ready?
The 2024 NFL Draft begins Thursday, April 25th on ESPN, ABC, and NFL Network.
50-50, honoring 50 years of Title IX and the women moving the world forward.
Yes, as we continue 50-50 month, honoring and exploring the first 50 years of Title IX and the women moving the world forward, tonight ESPN Films presents 37 Words. It's a series on the history and impact of Title IX and the trailblazers in sports, including Anne Myers Drysdale, who broke a barrier in 1980 when she became the first woman to sign an NBA contract with the Indiana Pacers.
Today, competing where no woman has tried to compete before, she got bumped and outwitted and outmuscled.
You know, I made shots, I made passes, I got beat on defense. Yeah, I made mistakes, but everybody makes mistakes in basketball. The media only showed that I didn't deserve to be out there.
She did not have the speed, strength, spring, or stamina to compete with the remarkably athletic men who play basketball at its highest level.
What are you doing? You're a girl. You can't play against the guys. You're not good enough. You're not strong enough. You're not this and you're not that. And I just kept saying, it's an opportunity that most men don't get. And I'm going to take it.
Tune in tonight. You can watch parts one and two of 37 Words, 8 Eastern on ESPN. As we bring Swagoo into the program today, Marcus Spears, and we have PK Subban here. You're two pretty tough guys. But I'm curious, would either of you engage in this sport? It is called pan slapping. You're wearing a knight's helmet, Swagoo, and you're just smacking the other guy in the head with a pan. What do you think?
Gee, I saw you say something when you and Jalen Rose was talking about people rolling down the mountain. It's some very similar things going on here.
PK, I know what you mean. PK, what do you think?
I think I could do this because my mom, I think, took me upside the head with a frying pan.
Well, you ever,
helmet
you ever got hit with a stick in the head? I mean, it's...
Yeah, I've been hit with a stick, puck in the head, oh. The face. But the frying pan, definitely I got. Hot, too, I think, off the stove.
I mean, the sound
This is vintage. Nothing surprises me anymore. Nothing surprises me anymore. We'll see this prime time on the Ocho on ESPN at some point this summer. We'll see it.
I go first, though. I hit him first.
Whose idea? Yeah, you hit me first. There could be no second.
I'm ending it after
that. All right. With that, we mentioned that we're coming to you live, as always, from the Heineken River Deck at Pier 17 with Jam Packs. Wagyu is here. PK is here. We got a bunch of basketball together. And it begins with Game 3 last night, Stanley Cup Final. And PK, you told me yesterday, the series, the season on the line for the two-time defending champion Tampa Bay Lightning taking on Colorado. They needed their goalie to come up big last night, Andre Vasilevsky, and he did just that.
Yeah, he was all world. He made some tremendous saves in this game, but none bigger than this one here. 6'3", stretches out, uses that height, that flexibility, gets a toe on this one, big save early. He was all world, he was their best player last night.
But then the Avs would take a 1-0 lead, so the pressure is on Tampa to score, and it's Cirelli who comes up big.
Yeah, Cirelli, I mean, this one's huge for him. I know he was excited to get this goal. All their players stepped up, their big guns, definitely, and we needed their big guns to step up and score timely goals, and here's Palat putting it in the back of the net.
Lightning take the 2-1 lead. Going to the second. Now we're midway through the second. The Lightning lead is 3-2, and it's Stamkos in front of the net.
Yeah, their big guns were out to play last night. Stamkos steps up, make it 4-2. The captain, he's played like a captain all playoff long. Big goal.
That's his 10th of the playoffs, so the Lightning extend the lead, and they're comfortably in front, but then here's a bad moment. It's Kucherov who will go down, and he's hurt.
Yeah, injuries have been the story for Tampa. They've been banged up all playoffs. You know, this is going to be huge for them. They can't afford to lose this guy. He's kind of the straw that stirs the drink for them, but we'll see what happens. Game 4, they're going to need him to step up if they want any chance of getting back fully in this series.
See if we get an update on his condition at some point, one way or the other. Tampa gets the win it desperately needs. The offense clicking last night after looking very flat in Game 2 back in Colorado Monday, marking the 6th time a team has gone from being shut out to scoring at least 6 goals in the same Stanley Cup final. So that's last night. Meantime, our other top story this morning comes from the NBA, where Kyrie Irving now has 8 days to decide whether he will opt out of the final year of his contract and become a free agent. That feels like a real possibility here. And if it does, our Kendrick Perkins said yesterday on First Take, he thinks it might mean this for Kevin Durant.
If I'm KD and the Brooklyn Nets don't get this deal done with Kyrie Irving, and Kyrie Irving leaves the Brooklyn Nets to sign with somebody else, like the Lakers and LeBron James, if I'm Kevin Durant, I want out.
If I'm Kevin Durant, I want out. I wanted Marcus Spears in this conversation because no one understands, first of all, no one follows the NBA more closely than Swagoo, and the understanding of the psychology of some pieces of this. But let's start with the facts. Wendy, the fans hear all this, right? The stories are tweets and all. What should the fans know about the situation with Kyrie and the Nets right now?
This is a leverage maneuver. The Nets believe that they have leverage because they think that no team will offer Kyrie Irving a contract starting at $40 million. Not only because there's no salary cap space out there, but because of the way his last few seasons has gone. And so they want to drive a hard bargain on a new deal, a short deal, maybe not fully guaranteed. Kyrie, of course, wants to get more of a guarantee in his deal. And by threatening to go elsewhere, he is trying to create leverage. And a big part of his leverage, frankly, is Kevin Durant. If he were willing to go somewhere else, willing to leave money on the table to do it, it would put the Nets in a very difficult position to sell Durant on them being a championship contender. So we're going to see how that leverage plays out over the next 8 days. As I have talked to teams around the league, most believe he will stay with the Nets. It just may get a little bit hairy before they hammer out a deal.
Well, if we go back to the end of, well, not the end of the season, but when they got swept out of the playoffs and Kyrie was talking about how he was going to be involved in putting together the future, and then the Nets general manager Sean Marks coming out and saying, wait a minute, we want people here who are committed, who are available, all that stuff. So there's been some back and forth involved in all of this, Legs. So how about it? I mean, if Kyrie is available out there to the world, should the world be bending over backwards to try and get him?
Listen, obviously the guy's talent means that if you've got certain things in place, he can be part of that and help you get a championship. There's no question about that with Kyrie Irving. But I hear what you're saying. Listen, the narrative is he dependable, reliable? Can you count on this guy, number one, all season? Number two, when you have to have him, will he be available? It's been a while now since he won that championship in Cleveland. He hasn't had a ton of playoff success in the 5 years since. And I think there's another narrative around Kyrie now where you have to weigh. Is the money worth it for what he's going to bring in? Ultimately, he's certainly talented enough to help you win. And there are situations out there with other star players that Kyrie Irving maybe could be that piece to help propel that. But listen, when you're talking about giving a guy max money, I understand why there's trepidation on the part of the Brooklyn Nets based on recent track record with Kyrie Irving. It is a serious risk to do that, but at the same time, it's a lot harder to replace that kind of talent than it is to just re-sign him once he's already in-house.
Which is the fascinating part of this conundrum. So, Swagoo, I give you the floor on this. Your professional experience, of course, is from football, where the business piece of it is so unimaginably different. Yeah. It's moving slightly in that direction now. But as you watch all this unfold with Kyrie and how it impacts Durant, what do you think of it?
Missed opportunity is the first thing. I remember us sitting here before the season, all gearing up for a Brooklyn Nets and Los Angeles Lakers championship. And obviously both of those things fell apart. The Lakers, as far as them not being able to get it on the floor. And then Kyrie dealing with not being able to play because of COVID, missing games, and then the overall arching conversation that started around the Brooklyn Nets, especially with Kevin Durant leading the way, who we think is leading the way there. Is this a formula for a team to win a championship? To a man, Legs, Wendy, JJ Redick, we've all talked about how much talent both of these guys have. But you know what the reality is in the conversation that we're not having? Are they able to lead? Leading is a big part of winning championships. That's why Kyrie was able to win one with LeBron James, because we all identify LeBron James as one of the ultimate leaders that has ever played in the NBA as far as getting players in the positions where they could have success. When you look at the Brooklyn Nets, and the one thing that gave me pause coming into this season about this squad, when I thought about Milwaukee and Giannis, that team is in sync and they have a clear-cut leader. We look at who made it. We look at Boston, young squad, but Marcus Smart is the leader of that basketball team. When you start talking about guys that can galvanize and guys that will listen and not get personal, the one thing that has been problematic in Brooklyn is Kyrie's talent. Now, people going to look at me and say, damn, Swaggoo, what you mean? How is talent the problem? The talent is the problem because everybody deals with Kyrie with kid gloves when it comes to actual basketball. When it comes to telling him, hey, bro, not on, like the whole COVID not being vaccinated, I omit that because that was not really in his control outside of going to get vaccinated, but that was something that he didn't want to do. But on the court, when you start talking about from a basketball standpoint, I go back. Kyrie had a problem with LeBron James when it was all said and done and he wanted to dip. We go to Boston. He told the people on the floor that I plan on staying here. Well, we see that that didn't work out. And now we here with Brooklyn as far as not knowing what Kyrie is going to decide to do. I'm for Kyrie getting a Supermax, but I'm for it with all kind of language to defend against some of the things that you may actually have to deal with Kyrie. Now, Wendy and all of these guys are obviously the contract experts. They understand how NBA contracts go. I'm not well-read on that. All I know is guaranteed money is what they get when they sign these deals. But ultimately, when you look at Kyrie's talent, that is the issue. Because we can't give you a definitive answer because that type of talent leads to championships if it's led by the right person, which I think that in calls question to what KD kind of influence is on Kyrie and basketball.
Well, that's the point, Wendy. And so Kyrie sounded at the end of the season like he thought he was the leader of that, and then Sean Marks suggested otherwise, and that's how we got where we are right now. What, if anything, do we know about how solid Kevin Durant's belief is here? Is Durant still, you used the term earlier that he's married himself to Kyrie multiple times, which is right. Is he still 100% behind this? Is he behind the scenes telling the Nets, give this guy his money and let's go?
What Kevin Durant wants is a team that could win a championship. He wants to be a part of something that he built and grew into a championship contender. He prefers that to be with Kyrie Irving. If Kyrie Irving is not there, he does not want any sort of step back. So I think that that is priority one for Kevin Durant as far as I've been told. And so the problem here is that Kyrie's value is not strong. A breakup with Kyrie will almost certainly mean that the Nets are worse. And if the Nets are worse, you're putting your future with Kevin Durant, even though he's got 4 years on his contract, in serious jeopardy. That is Kyrie Irving's leverage. And to what Marcus said about him being a leader, Marcus, you are right, but I think he's basically been a leader of one. He got Durant to Brooklyn.
Yeah.
He got Durant to recommit to Brooklyn. And that is all that has been required by Kyrie. And now he is relying on that connection to have the Nets pay him. We'll see how strong it is.
So, Legs, let me then just ask you the last question. Let's just imagine that we're living in a world where Kyrie is there for this coming year, however that happens. KD is there for this coming year. And Ben Simmons, in theory, is going to play. When we're starting the season, when we're doing the opening night of NBA Countdown and everything, will you say the Nets are the favorites to win the Eastern Conference?
No, I'm not going to give them the benefit of the doubt again. I'm not doing it. They're going to have to show me. I'm sorry. I'm going to be from Missouri for a while. They're going to have to show me probably half a season because I need to see that, number one, that they fit together. I need to see what mental state is Ben Simmons in. I have no idea where Ben Simmons is going to be when the season starts. So that needs to be shown to me. I need to see that Kevin Durant and Kyrie Irving can stay on the court, stay healthy, and mesh together. I also need to see what the rest of the roster looks like. So, no, I am not going to go there right now just because of the talent level of Kevin Durant and Kyrie Irving and say, yeah, they got to be the favorite because of the names on paper. I'm sorry, I can't do it. There are other proven commodities in the Eastern Conference that I would tend to lay my money on first. Now, they could get there, but they're going to have to prove that over a period of time for me.
I got 30 seconds, Swaggoo. Go.
Gee, I just wanted to ask Legs or Wendy, if any one of them know, who is the voice in that Brooklyn organization, like beyond KD, that can like get these guys to figure out what they are going to do? Is there a guy there?
Legs, is there a guy there? I mean, Steve Nash is the coach. Kyrie has already said he doesn't really think they need to be coached. Well, is there someone who can do that, Legs?
That's their biggest problem, Swagoo. They don't have vocal leadership. They don't. And that's the fact that you're even asking the question. Think about that. The fact that we have to ask the question, I think, tells you all you need to know about that situation. I've said it about Kevin Durant since he got there. I think at times, you know, he's not communicative enough. He is not vocal enough. He's not demonstrative enough about being a leader of the team. He wants his game to speak for itself. And it can if the pieces are there. The problem is that hasn't been the case. It's been nothing but chaos and setback after setback since the day he got there. So, no, the answer, I don't know. You don't know. Wendy doesn't know. I don't think anybody does. I think there's a lot of quiet voices, and that's one of their biggest problems.
All right, we'll leave it there for the moment. Much more as we continue, guys. Awesome. And coming up, there's a chip that Draymond Green plays that has helped him to four NBA championships, but it's got something of a double-edged sword. You need to hear this quite literally, and you will. Then there's Dak Prescott. He needs a big year for the Cowboys to make a deep playoff run. Why falling short could bring major changes from that man. It's on the way. It's Get Up on ESPN.
Dell Tech Fest starts now. To thank you for 40 unforgettable years, Dell Technologies is celebrating with anniversary savings on their most popular tech. For a limited time only, save on select next-gen PCs like the XPS 13 Plus, where you can make the everyday easier with Windows 11. Unleash more possibilities with cutting-edge systems, their most advanced features, and great prices. Plus, curate your dream setup with deals on select monitors, mice, and more must-have electronics and accessories. When you shop online at Dell.com/deals, you'll have access to state-of-the-art technology to match your forward-thinking spirit and free shipping on everything. Anniversary savings await you for a limited time only at Dell.com/deals. That's Dell.com/deals. Delicious, meet nutritious in the snack that packs a real protein punch. Wonderful pistachios, one of the highest protein nuts out there. Each 1 ounce serving has 6 grams of protein, giving you over 10% of your daily value. Wonderful pistachios also come in a variety of flavors and sizes, perfect for enjoying with family and friends or taking them with you on the go. And you're on the go a lot, taking the kids to school, hopping from meeting to meeting, shopping for groceries. Well, the good news is, not only are wonderful pistachios a complete protein, providing all 9 essential amino acids, they're also great for all your adventures. So whether you're a pistachio purist who loves cracking open every nut, or you prefer the convenience of no-shells pistachios, Wonderful Pistachios has got you covered. Grab Wonderful Pistachios and elevate your snacking game today. Visit WonderfulPistachios.com to learn more.
We are back, and my new favorite feature is simply called What's Up, Swagoo? Let's get into something. Swagoo, what is up with Patrick Mahomes playing without Tyreek Hill?
Man, listen, Tyreek needed to get his podcast going, and Patrick Mahomes is about to ball out like he's done every year. Last year, this Kansas City offense struggled early parts of the season, and then we saw Pat bounce back. I don't know what they're going to look like without Tyreek Hill explosiveness, but I can almost guarantee you, G, that Patrick Mahomes will be fine, because let's all remember, he's worth $500 million.
That's exactly right. Next up is Baltimore. What is up with Lamar Jackson and his contract?
Gee, I don't know, man. It doesn't seem like I feel like the relationship is good, but feeling like it and really knowing it is two different damn things. Here's the deal. Lamar Jackson should get $230+ million guaranteed in this contract based on all we talked about with Cleveland and Deshaun Watson. I don't know if the Ravens want to pay that. It could be about money, G. I've said it's not, but it may be.
Well, and then in Cleveland, what is up with Baker Mayfield still being on the Browns?
Gee, I am a big fan of this show on Netflix called Bridgerton. And in Bridgerton, the whole premise is set up for these women and men to pair and be married. But the one gossip columnist named Lady Whistledown is the one that really gets everything into motion. Baker needs to holler at Lady Whistledown to holler at these 31 other teams or the teams that need a quarterback and write a great article and get the whole town talking about it so they can sign Baker Mayfield. This relationship with Baker Mayfield and Cleveland is over. It's done. Lady Whistledown, do your job. Shout out to Bridgerton.
Okay, I wouldn't say it right now. Anyone who had Swagoo quoting Bridgerton in the show today, congratulations. You saw something I didn't see coming. I got one more what up for you. What is up with Jerry Jones and what he said about Sean Payton yesterday? I want to show everybody the quotes, right? So someone asks him about Sean Payton, and he says, Sean Payton shouldn't be out there. For him, the Cowboys, that's just sheer out of the air. It's well known we're good friends and we think a lot of him as a head coach. But in this case, asking the way you're asking, he shouldn't be a conversation piece. Mike has got an opportunity here to win a Super Bowl. That's really the measurement that I look at. Swagoo, what is up with that?
Gee, this is the worst thing you could hear when you involve with somebody, okay? They tell you somebody shouldn't be single. They should not be in a relationship with themselves. There should be suitors and a guy, and they should be a very highly, you should want them to be a part of who you are. And that's basically what Jerry's saying. When he says Sean Payton shouldn't be available and we're fine with Mike, imagine you telling your wife that. Imagine you saying, this lady should not be single, but my wife cool. She all good. We gonna figure out what she is in this marriage over time. The bottom line is this. Jerry can say what he wants to say, G, but we all know and we have watched this movie time and time again. Let Sean Payton show interest that he want to be the Cowboys head coach. It don't matter if Mike McCarthy win the damn Super Bowl. Jerry gonna try to make it happen.
Well, that's an interesting little part of this story because Jeremy Fowler, you brought up earlier, that the Cowboys are not the only team that is going to be very interested in Sean Payton. They're not the only ones who feel like they shouldn't be out there right now if indeed he decides he wants to get back in somewhere. Right, Jeremy?
Yeah, Green, he's going to have many options. Considering there are 9 jobs that opened just last year, there are going to be many more this year. So if he finds a job that's going to have a top 5 to 7 quarterback, a quarterback that he might like better than Dak Prescott, he could pounce on that. You got some big markets out there, whether it's Miami, L.A., wherever. There are quarterbacks all over the league. And so he will be the guy to potentially fix a situation that might be broken. And so certainly Dallas could be in the mix. But, Greeny, I continue to hear that Dallas has confidence in Mike McCarthy. Maybe they're just saying the right things right now. But I asked somebody over in that building, and it was recited to me that, hey, he won 12 games last year, a huge swing from the year before. They like the progress. Now, they need to see better situational football from McCarthy and the Cowboys after the way some of the late games went down last year.
Well, just a quick final thought on that. Go ahead, Swagoo. Finish it up.
Yeah, to Jimmy's point, and I'm with y'all know how I am about the Cowboys, but I think this is a conversation about how they're winning and what games in particular are they winning. Gee, you know I've said on your show, and I've been asked this question, are the Cowboys Super Bowl favorites? Should they be the favorite? No, I've said no to that question consistently on this show since we started working together. The problem with the Dallas Cowboys is this. Always unknowns. Mm. And we know, and I know Stephen A. jokes about it, and he talks about it a lot, and it really gets on my nerves as a Cowboy fan and a former Cowboy, and Cowboy fans all over the world that I talk to that message me. But the reality is, when he talks about the part of things seemingly to always go wrong, that's been the story. And until you find consistency enough 1, 2, 3 seasons in a row, we shouldn't be talking about the Cowboys winning no Super Bowl. Yeah. We've come on this show every damn year and said the Cowboys have enough talent to win Super Bowls, to make deep playoff runs. It has not happened. And last year, it had a lot to do with the coach, but it also had a lot to do with how that team performed. Until they show some consistency against teams that really matter and win a lot, then we can have a different conversation. The Cowboys are winning games they're supposed to win and every now and then winning the ones that they not, per se.
We'll see what they're able to do. In the meantime, Jerry Jones always makes it interesting. Let me leave that there for the moment. Speaking of interesting, a very special guest has just joined our studio and he has brought with him a very special piece of hardware. That is the U.S. Open trophy. And that is the man whose name is the most recent to go on it. Matthew Fitzpatrick from Northwestern and a U.S. Open champ in our studio, Nags.
NBA fans, listen up. You've got to try Pick 6, the newest fantasy app from DraftKings, an official partner of the NBA. Getting started is simple. Select if a player will have more or less of a stat. For example, will a player have more than 1 rebound or will a player have less than 3.5 assists? Pick your favorite players and compete for huge cash prizes. Download the new DraftKings Pick 6 app now using code Parlay and take on the competition with your best NBA player picks. Only on DraftKings Pick 6 with code Parlay. The crown is yours. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 18 plus in most eligible states. Age varies by jurisdiction. Eligibility restrictions apply. Pick 6 not available in all states, including but not limited to Connecticut and New York. For up-to-date lists of states, visit dkng.co/pick6states. Void where prohibited. See terms at pick6.draftkings.com/promos.
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use the code 5HETRAVEL at 5HOURENERGY.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only, not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HOURENERGY.com and use the code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.
We're back on Get Up. I'm not sure how you spent your Sunday, but I can tell you how I spent mine. I was glued to the television watching that man, Matthew Fitzpatrick, win the U.S. Open with this shot on the 72nd hole. After pulling a 3-wood into that fairway bunker, he hits a shot that I think is going to be talked about forever, one of the great shots you've ever seen, and then held off Will Zalatoris at the finish. And there's the embrace on Father's Day with his father, Matthew Fitzpatrick. The winner of the U.S. Open, his first ever victory in the United States, comes in our national championship, and it comes on a course that he has always felt comfortable. He won the 2013 U.S. Am at the Country Club at Brookline, and then wins the U.S. Open on the same course. Only Jack Nicklaus had ever done that in history, and so I am delighted. And again, he did play at Northwestern University, which is of particular significance to me. Matthew Fitzpatrick, good enough to be here with this spectacular trophy. I would imagine you spent your whole life dreaming what a moment like that would be like. How have these last 48 hours compared to what you dreamt they would be?
10 million times better, yeah. You know, you always think about what it feels like to win a major, what it feels like to win any golf tournament, but obviously the majors just mean that much more. And, it still doesn't feel real. And when it happened, it was, yeah, it's just the feelings out of this world.
I talk about it all the time. It's my favorite sport, and I'm fascinated by the ability to handle the pressure. And so I saw a story that said on the 14th hole, you said to your caddy, Billy Foster, "I hate this. It's horrible," meaning all the pressure that was out there. And so I wonder, how did you, because you had some ups and downs in that final round. Anyone who watched it knows what I'm talking about, a few putts that you missed, and you gave up the lead at one point. How did that pressure feel? How would you describe what that feels like, being sort of locked into that all day on the final round of a major championship?
Yeah, it's so intense. It's not just from final day, it's the night before when you're sleeping with a lead, and it's just a lot. You know, there's times when there's no doubt about it, you hate it, but at the same time, when it pays off, it just feels that much sweeter, and it's such an incredible feeling.
I ask the players this all the time when I get the chance to talk to them. When you're standing over a shot like that, when you're standing over a putt that you know will go a long way towards deciding something this important, when you're standing over that shot in the 18th fairway bunker, what thoughts are actually going through your mind? How do you put out of your mind what is at stake and just stay in the moment?
I'll be honest, I wasn't looking forward to that fairway bunker shot. It's something I struggled with all year, and I think it was just kind of pure natural ability that took over. We had a line in mind, and I would say that it ended up coming out much cleaner. Well, it was a clean strike, and it came out with much more shape on it than I anticipated. And to hit it to, you know, 15 feet was incredible.
Sitting at home watching my entire Northwestern family screaming at the television, you have 100 yards to the right of that bunker, and somehow you hit it the one place you couldn't hit it, and it doesn't wind up costing you the tournament. Okay, so another funny story. Your brother, who we all saw go running out and then lift you up off the ground, what exactly happened here? He left on Saturday and then came back on Sunday? How did this go?
Yeah, he came for the week to kind of just spend time with my mum and dad and myself, and he left Saturday afternoon before I teed off, and he said he landed and I was tied for the lead. So he texted my manager, Ted, and he said, "Oh, I need you to bump me on the first flight back." So he got up ridiculously early, got on a flight, and came back to see it all.
So your brother, who we all saw getting all emotional and all that, basically felt you had no chance to win the U.S. Open and left. Is that what I'm understanding here?
Maybe not that. But yeah, I think when he landed and saw that I was, you know, tied for the lead, I think he was like, "What a mistake I've made."
Does this change your life? I mean, do you already feel the ways people talk about how becoming a major champion, particularly this trophy here in this country, that it changes your life? Do you feel this is going to change your life and change you?
I think it'll change my life, yeah. I think it's, for me, that the big thing is about, you know, legacy and going down in golf history. And what I achieved on Sunday was, it's what I dreamt of, what I've worked for. But... you know, I'm fortunate enough to have friends and family around me that keep me very, very grounded. And I don't think they'll let me change. So, yeah, hopefully not.
All right. One thing I have to ask you about today, and I don't know if you've had a chance to hear the news as you're running around doing this, but the latest star from the PGA Tour who is going to be going to this new LIV Golf Tour, and I'm not sure how closely fans are following all of this, but it's something that is really sort of splitting apart the world of golf to a very large degree, is Brooks Koepka. You're a U.S. Open champion. He's a two-time U.S. Open champion. I do wonder your perspective, not just on him, but on so many of these star players now, most notably Dustin Johnson, Phil Mickelson, and how you think this impacts the world of golf.
Yeah, it's interesting. There's certainly a split at the minute. You know, I constantly go back to the two sort of quotes I've seen from Tiger and Rory over the last few weeks about legacy and history and achieving and winning tournaments, and for me that's the route that I want to go down. For me that's the best place to play, is the DP World Tour and the PGA Tour and the majors. That's what I want to do. I want to win more of these and more times on DP World Tour and the PGA Tour. So it's certainly an interesting story, and I'm sure it's already ruffled plenty of feathers, and we'll see what happens.
I'd like to do one more thing, Stick, if I can. Can we run the Grayson Murray video? I want to end it on a fun note here. Most of us who play golf can identify with this moment that Grayson Murray had while we were playing, or during the weekend when he was struggling a little bit. Take us through this emotion here. What is that we're seeing there?
I have to admit, we were watching this in the morning before my round, and they panned to him when he sort of helicoptered the putter, and we did have a laugh. Sorry, Grayson, but it was pretty amusing.
Is that an emotion that you can relate to?
Oh, definitely. I did that last year, and I'll be honest, after I did it, I felt awful.
Oh, really? Sometimes when I do it, I feel a lot better, to be completely honest. Yeah. It's a nice release. Hey, congratulations.
Thank you.
We're all so proud of you from Northwestern. That's Matthew Fitzpatrick, U.S. Open champion. Delighted to have you here. Thank you very much. Congratulations and continued success. Back to the NBA I go here. Timmy Legler here, and I want to run through the offseason for a few different teams and get a wish list from you, if I could, Timmy Legs. What is your wish list for the Lakers, Legs?
For the Lakers, I think, listen, if you could possibly trade Russell Westbrook, great, and get something back in return that's a viable asset, but I don't think it's going to happen. So for me, it's, hey, get your stars healthy and rework everybody from Russell Westbrook on down to get younger legs and some shooting.
How about the Golden State Warriors, the defending champs? What's your wish list for them?
Wish list for them is simple. They've got everything in place to do it again, Greeny, but I think they're going to need this young infusion of talent to not just be guys they're developing. They're going to need them to, I think, be relevant in the playoffs as well. So that means James Wiseman, get him back on the court, incorporate him to the way you play. Jonathan Kuminga, I think, is going to be a star in this league. I think he needs to have a playoff run coming, and then Moses Moody be the other guy. So just get that youth going and know that you can count on him when it matters.
And how about your wish list for the Nets?
You know what I would love to see? Kevin Durant and Kyrie Irving stay healthy, stay together, add Ben Simmons, and actually give us another team to talk about that's a real threat to win a championship. But I think short of that, it's sign Kyrie Irving to less than the max, and then you've got to, again, rework everybody not named Kyrie, Kevin Durant, and Ben Simmons. And even in Ben Simmons' case, you're going to need to make sure that he is in the right place to go forward. I would love, my wish list for them, Greeny, is to be relevant, be healthy, get along, and give us another team that we love to watch play because of the talent level.
Okay, and so that's where he sits right now as far as the Nets are concerned. His teammate Kevin Durant has a variety of other stuff going on. You may have seen Charles Barkley on this show last Friday making some comments about how KD needs to win a championship as a bus driver in order to get the respect that he wants. Well, that was posted on Twitter, and Kevin Durant responded with this, saying all this stuff is nasty, another terrible analogy from a hating old head that can't accept that we're making more bread than them. It's just timing, Chucky. Don't hate the player. So he posted that. Here's how Barkley responded last night. He was on in the first intermission of the Stanley Cup Final with Steve Levy, Chris Chelios, and Mark Messier.
We've always said how lucky the hockey analysts are. Like Melrose and these guys, they can criticize. They don't hear from his family.
Yeah,
you criticize the NBA.
Yeah, but they tweet about me. Hockey players just want to win. They don't sit around and tweet.
You know, and it does bring up sort of a fascinating question about the state of media today. And we have our hockey player in studio with us. P.K. Subban has been terrific the last couple of days. And we have Legs from the world of basketball. We have Marcus Spears from the world of football. And Swagoo, I'll start with you as one who has come into this side of it, the media piece of this, fairly recently and, look, candidly, done extraordinarily well at it in a pretty short period of time. What is your perspective as you see KD firing back on someone like Charles and the sort of the state of the relation between where the media is and the star athletes are today?
Yeah. Gee, I mean, obviously the different time with social media and more emphasis put on these guys having their own voices and controlling their own narratives. And unbeknownst to them, seemingly, when someone says something about them that they don't like, we like when you say what's on your mind. You know I do, G. You know I live by that code and that standard. Say what's on your mind, say what you feel. But don't get mad when it's interpreted. Don't get mad when people give opinions about either your reaction or something that you said. That is what the media has been doing forever. I don't understand this new media thing. It's more volume, it's more out there, it's more eyes being put on what you're saying and what you're doing now. And we get that. There's positives that come with that. There's negatives that come with that. But this whole idea, like I hear Draymond talk about it, KD going back and forth on Twitter, which I have no problem with KD responding on Twitter. None whatsoever. I think sometimes it's way beneath him to do so because it's actually about basketball, and no one that's tweeting about KD playing the game of basketball or knowing the game of basketball outside of guys that have done it at the highest level, he should really pay much attention to. But that's neither here nor there. This whole ideology that the new players, the guys that's in the league now, have to be against people at ESPN because they say something that they don't like, or against people at other networks, or against people at Fox, or against people that talk about things on YouTube channels or whatever, that is crazy to me. Gee, when I played for the Dallas Cowboys, bro, I was drafted in the first round, number 20. Guess who was drafted at number 11 with me? DeMarcus Ware. Okay, who's going to get a gold jacket? I was called the bust. I was called the guy that they wasted a draft pick on. We could have got Aaron Rodgers. Remember, he went late 32nd, I think, to the Green Bay Packers. All of these things were being said. And, gee, you know what it was for me? I agree that could be used as motivation, but I had no ill will. I didn't say that these guys on television is hate. They're giving their opinion. I didn't lose any sleep about it. Every Tuesday, direct deposit it hit from the Cowboys. And as long as my coaches, as long as my teammates, as long as the people that I was responsible to have success and do my job at a high level were not complaining, that's all that mattered to me. Yes, I love that they have a voice. Yes, I love that they respond. But ultimately, it ain't no new media, old media. This the same type of conversations that's been going on between folks in media and athletes since the beginning of time. It's just when you had a recorder, G, and you were actually on site, it didn't go to a million places immediately when you put it pen to pad. It took a while for it to circulate.
That's exactly right. PK, let me ask your perspective. You make your home in Toronto.
Yes.
And in Canada, obviously, the hockey players, I think, are dissected and covered differently than they are here, more intensely, similarly to the way the basketball players here are covered. What is your perspective on this?
Well, I think it's also very different in hockey. You know, the NBA has grown exponentially. You know, I remember way, way back, I think it was in 2004 when the NHL was going through a lockout, and a magazine, Sports Illustrated, had said why the NHL is hot and the NBA is not. Yeah. Well, since then, the NBA has really celebrated and promoted its players. And this is what happens, you know. I would much rather have Charles Barkley critiquing my game than having somebody who isn't at that level of Charles Barkley. And in the NHL, we're not really used to seeing players fire back at the media, but this is the new world. This is social media. And I think I would probably be sensitive, you know, if a Hall of Fame athlete was sitting behind a desk and was critical of me, but that's who Charles Barkley is, and that's why we love him. This is the media. The NBA does the best job, as far as I'm concerned, out of all the other sports leagues, of telling a story. It's always drama. That's why we watch Get Up. That's why we watch First Take, is we want to see that story. And the NBA does the best job of marketing its players. This is all marketing for the game, is knowing who Kevin Durant is, knowing who LeBron James is, Steph Curry. And we've seen that now. Guys are more opinionated. That's what we want in the game.
Let me get a thought from you, Legs, again, because you're one of these old heads now who's been doing this for a while, and you played in that era with those guys, and you played against Charles Barkley and all that kind of stuff. What do you hear from these guys that, as you talk about them and at times offer critical opinions?
Greeny, I know you call me old head with just the greatest reverence and endearment, so I appreciate that. I know how to take that from you. I look at it like this. The problem I have with it from Kevin Durant's perspective is this. You're never going to win it. You're never going to look good. It's not going to put you in a positive light. And that's easy to say because you want to get that hair on your neck up and you want to respond to everybody. And the mechanism to respond is right there in front of you on any mobile device you have. You are now interacting with people in a way in the real time that you never could have during my generation. Look, I heard criticism of myself and other players too. It's just you had to almost seek it out. Or somebody had to bring it right to you, right? You had to be catching it at that time in a newspaper, print media, or on TV. That's not the case now. You're getting hit from every avenue out there, from the fans' perspective, media that never played, media that did play, and you're going to respect all of them in a different way. You don't have to respond to it all because at the end of the day, it makes you look insecure. It makes you look like things bother you more than they should. And look, sometimes lines get crossed and you're going to stand up for yourself or your family. I get that. But just general critique, whether it's a former player or not, shouldn't be something that you have to clap back at all the time. I think Kevin Durant's best answer is to go win in this last narrative, right? There's three narratives from great players. One, are you a great player? Check that box for Kevin Durant. Two, are you an integral part of a championship team? Check that box. He's got two rings. There's a third one. The third one is, can you build something from scratch and uplift a team that has not been there before to a championship as its best player? Great players carry that weight. That's the one narrative Kevin Durant hasn't answered, and it's the one thing left for him. So just go prove it. Go get a ring in this situation in Brooklyn or somewhere else you choose after that. That's the best way to answer critics.
PK, put a final ribbon on the form.
And he's going to do that. Oh, okay. I think the biggest thing in the media as an athlete that we look for as players is personal biases. You know, you want to read into what people are saying in the media. And is this coming from a place where you're just being critical of me as an athlete and what happens on the court? Or is it personal biases? I don't think Charles Barkley has any personal bias against anyone. I think he calls it the way he sees it. But as an athlete, definitely there's some sensitivity to that sometimes. I remember when I signed my contract in Montreal, and one of the first headlines was Alex Kovalev had said, why is this guy getting paid $9 million? Just because he makes up for mistakes, he still makes mistakes on the ice. And I grew up watching Alex Kovalev. I used to study his skill tapes, all that stuff. And it was personal to me. At that time, I didn't feel it was necessary for me to go out and do it publicly in the media, but I did feel a little bit like it was a personal shot at me because there's a lot of other athletes that are making more money that weren't doing what I was doing on the ice. So there's personal bias to it. Marcus, I want to hear what you got to say, man.
I'm out of time.
Yes.
Marcus, stay close by. Stay close by. We'll try and get back to it here. It's such a fascinating and endless topic, and unfortunately, you know, the show ends and then First Take comes on and I run out of time here. We need more time. In the meantime, a reminder of the College World Series. It continues today from Omaha. Two elimination games, Texas A&M and Notre Dame, 2 Eastern on ESPN. Then primetime tonight, Auburn and Arkansas on ESPN2. Both are available on the ESPN app, so you can watch from anywhere. We do have this. It's time for Sneaky Hembo. Hey, Legs. Sneaky Hembo's coming at you. Who was the last Knicks guard to make the All-Star team? That's the question. The answer is coming up next. Watch and Get Up on ESPN.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
Picture this. You arrive at your hotel. You have an important online meeting lined up with clients from all across the country. You have your laptop open, ready to begin, and the Wi-Fi is so terrible, you can't even connect. These types of stressful situations happen all the time, but they don't have to. When you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you have access to their free high-speed Wi-Fi, so you can take care of those critical emails, join your meetings on time, and even unwind by streaming your favorite shows without having to worry. Tonight, La Quinta. Tomorrow, you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
We are back, and here we go, Legs. The pressure is on from Sneaky Hembo. There is some talk about Kyrie Irving possibly winding up a Knick. It's very unlikely, but it does beg the question, who was the last Knicks guard to make the All-Star team?
Two guys jumped into my mind, and I'm not sure if Latrell Sprewell made the All-Star team, and that's what I'm struggling with. Allen Houston, I know, did. They were there around the same time. So it's one of those two guys. My guess would be Latrell Sprewell.
Oh, my goodness, it's Allen Houston. You talked yourself right out of the right answer. It was Allen Houston 21 years ago. So it's been that long. It's been 21 years since the last time the Knicks had a guard on the All-Star team. Meanwhile, the Warriors have two of them who are all-time greats. And they've added a third. And there's one of them. There's, of course, Steph Curry yesterday with his beautiful family celebrating a championship. There's the other member of the Splash Brothers. That's Klay Thompson. He was there having fun. To the victors go the spoils. Draymond Green was out there. Everyone having fun at the parade. And it got us to thinking about the top five parade moments in history, and so we thought, let's put a little smile on our faces here. Hey, PK, this is Jason Kelce's outfit when the Eagles won the Super Bowl. What do you think of that?
That's quite interesting. I want to know where he got it, honestly. I just want to know where he got that outfit.
So you can avoid going there?
Listen, when you win, you can wear whatever you want. You can pretty much do whatever you want.
How about this? Marcus, Sergio Ramos dropped the Copa del Rey trophy and it got run over by a bus. What do you think of that?
Gee, first of all, what the hell is the Copa del Rey trophy? What you get that trophy for?
Hey. What? Hey, Greeny. Hey, Greeny.
Whatever you get it for, it's expensive. It's not supposed to be ran over by a bus.
If that was the NBA, all we'd be asking is who's driving the bus.
That's right. Here we go. How about J.R. Smith, who didn't wear a shirt for like a month after they won the championship leg?
I loved it.
That's right. He did not have a shirt on. He didn't wear a shirt for, I think, two more full seasons, actually, after that speech.
Man, with the church with no shirt on.
Marcus, what could possibly top this? Somehow number two is Tom Brady throwing the Super Bowl trophy from one boat to another. What do you think of that?
First of all, G, this is a great moment, but I don't know why we don't have Tom Brady stumbling out of this parade. That's the top moment. Is he stumbling right on his avocado tequila or whatever the hell he be drinking? I want to see him. I want to see Tom Brady wasted, being held up by his friend more so than throwing the trophy.
How could that not be number one? Because this is. PK, that's Mark Madsen dancing.
Yeah, those are tough moves. I don't know. That's a tough script. Look, I don't care what you've won. You got to come with a better script than that. That's a tough day.
I've said it before. I'll say it again.
Yeah.
All of us
are worse dancers for having watched him do that.
Yeah, that's right on brand, actually, when you think about it.
But he's got a championship. Good for him. First Take is coming up here in just a few minutes on ESPN. They'll be talking about Kyrie. That's obviously a huge part of the conversation today. Should the Nets be saying goodbye to him at some point in the near future? Stephen A., Molly, JJ, on the way on ESPN.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/network.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
And we thank you for getting up with us this morning. I'll be coast to coast on ESPN Radio in 60 seconds. But the fun and the conversation continues about Kyrie and more with First Take, which starts right now.